Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 31 of the Band of Gamers podcast. My name is not Greylock3491. I am Osiris Prime, doing the hosting duties this week. We only got one other host this week. It's just the two of us. Zeus Adamus, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Prime? In some ways, it feels like new times and like old times, right? Because I guess you, me, and Elemental Storm used to do a version of this when some of the older wave were not on the podcast.
Yes, it's back to the old days of sorts. Yeah, that was good times. So yes, unfortunately, Greylock and DBQ most likely won't be here either. So maybe he'll jump in and surprise us both. But for now, it's just me and Zeus. So let's get started with our normal what we played this week or this past week, maybe 2 weeks since it's been a while since we've been on. Zeus, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you've been playing?
Quite a bit, actually. So first and foremost, one of the games I've been playing is Homeworld Deserts of Karak, which just came out last Tuesday, I think. So I guess the 19th. And, you know, I don't know who is familiar with the franchise Homeworld, but it was a game, a PC game, it's two PC games made by Relic Entertainment Studios, who my personal favorite developer studio of all time, probably. They used to be owned by Sierra, which was, of course, a company owned by Vivendi Universal, who, of course, has since merged with Activision Blizzard, and I think Vivendi actually just sold their stake in Activision Blizzard, but Relic was underneath that brand, and then at some point moved or was bought by THQ, and when THQ went under last year or in 2014, they were one of the studios that was sold off. They landed somewhere, I'm not sure exactly where, but they are still a game studio owned by a publisher. But Homeworld 1 and Homeworld 2 were these two pretty incredible games because no one had really done a space real-time strategy game in 3D with full freedom of movement well. So those two games came out, probably not known to a lot of other people, but Relic also made two games called Ground Control and Ground Control 2. And both of those two games, the latter games, made me really kind of understand RTSs or got me into RTSs because they did away with resource gathering. So, but I'd also fall in love with Homeworld just because those are incredibly beautiful games. Remasters or remakes were issued last year when the IP got bought by Gearbox. And so the studio that made Homeworld Deserts of Karak, Blackbird Interactive, is a studio composed of former veterans of the Homeworld development teams and Ground Control development teams. So it is a prequel to the first Homeworld. In the first Homeworld, the story picks up with a race of people who were engaged in a war, and were forced to leave the planet. And one of the things that they talk about in that game is in the opening sequence, they talk about a woman, a researcher, or professor or something who sacrificed herself to merge with the navigation system of the mothership. That character is the one of the main characters in Homeworld Deserts of Karak. So it is the prequel and the entire backstory that sets up Homeworld. It's a slightly different game. It's on the ground. The setup takes a while to kind of get your head wrapped around as far as being plausible, but basically they build there's not a lot of water on this planet, so they build a land-based aircraft carrier that travels through the deserts of the planet on these huge treads and tracks. And in similar vein to Homeworld is a ship, essentially, that has the capability to manufacture and produce units. So you collect resources, manufacture and produce units, engage in various tactical situations, and transit the planet, trying to get to this mystical artifact that again, they reference in the opening sequence of Homeworld. So I played a pretty good deal of that, streamed / video captured some of it, and on another website that I write for, posted my initial impressions of the game. So pretty happy with that so far. And then, I'm sorry, go ahead, Prime.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think you had posted, I think, a video or that maybe that same video on the CAG site also, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I posted what I refer to on my YouTube channel as a first boot video, which is which is a high risk video where I start doing video capture or streaming upon the initial boot up of the game. And I call it high risk because, of course, when you do that, you just never know. With a PC game, you just don't know whether or not you're going to proceed to have to download like gigabytes of .NET files and DirectX updates, or if the game will just play. And I actually had a problem with YouTube. YouTube was having problems the night that I tried to stream it. So it's actually a video of my second like 50 minutes of gameplay, because the first 50 minutes or so of gameplay I lost. But yeah, I did post that on the CAG website. And also posted on the website was my weekly nostalgia reel of me playing Left 4 Dead also on the PC. And then the other thing I played a little bit of was Star Wars Battlefront. Despite me saying that I was not interested in playing that game, I finally broke down and bought it just after the holidays. And played a little bit of TEC 3001, which is I think stands for Tesla Energy Collector 3001. I've talked about this game a couple times before, where you're this kind of wireframe Terminator-looking robot. It's kind of a big platformer, and there are just dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of levels that you basically try and speed run through different objectives of like grabbing X number of batteries or completing the level in a certain amount of time. It's just a big physics game. And then the last thing I played, which I could probably talk about in more detail, but I'll keep it short, was Project Cars, which I feel really awful about that I bought this game and it's been sitting in my backlog for a long time. And I finally booted it up tonight. I've also posted a video of that on my YouTube channel. I haven't brought it over to CAG yet. But when I do, one of the primary things I need to ask other members of CAG is if anybody's playing that on PS4 or Xbox One, because I know we go gaga for Forza. But man, I am really amazed with Project Cars. And the career mode is amazingly simple. I get really frustrated with Gran Turismo and a little bit with Forza. Forza's career mode is a lot cleaner than Gran Turismo's. Gran Turismo's is completely off the rails with how ridiculously Byzantine it's gotten. But Project Cars is even better. And what I love foremost about Project Cars' career mode is once you create your character, it just opens up every racing league to you. You can elect to start in kart racing, you can elect to start in grand touring. I mean, you could start in any league that you want to, because really the whole point of the game is just for you to play all these different types of racing leagues and styles and all the different cars, and they really make it irrelevant as to where you start. So I've started in Supercart, which is the second kart series. There's a 125cc kart and a 250cc kart. I'm starting in the 250cc. It took me just under an hour just to get the game tuned to my particular racing style, which just kind of, while it was almost frustrating, more so than anything, it showed me the extreme level of attention to detail and the complexity of the physics model in the game. So I did finally get it wired down, and fortunately, in my last 10 minutes of gameplay on that video, I got pole position at Donington, which is a Formula One track in Great Britain, and then went on to two podium finishes on that track. So absolutely gorgeous racing game, and probably my number one racing game in my collection for right now. So sorry about that. I know I went on a bit, but I have been playing a lot. So what have you been playing, Prime?
Oh no, that's all right. I think we have time too this week, since it's just the two of us. So actually, before I get to mine, I got a quick couple questions on some of your games there. So
Yeah, go right ahead.
Project Cars, I believe, I think there's some chatter on the site early on when it had first came out, and within the first few weeks or a few months, excuse me, that people were playing that. I believe even Gray might have had it, and I think, because the one reason I remember is you mentioned about the carts, and I guess some people were kind of just kind of annoyed, I guess, that it kind of started out that way. But I don't know. I guess you can choose something else besides the carts, I guess. But I guess they were kind of, they were just like, I want to just get to the cars, instead of just doing carts and stuff like that. So I just find that kind of funny.
Yeah, on the PC version, and I don't know how it was on, I'm guessing those guys played on the Xbox One version. I don't know exactly how it behaved on the Xbox One version, but on the PC version, at least the first two were wide open. So you could start in 125cc kart or 250cc kart. I believe the dialogue made it sound like you could pick any of the tiers to race in. But I'm not absolutely certain. But yeah, I guess I could kind of see how that bothered people. But Gran Turismo 5, I think the one that first came out on the PlayStation 3. I'm pretty sure you started off in carts on that also, but I could be wrong.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never played any of the Gran Turismos, unfortunately. So, never big into the, you know, the simulation car games. But yeah, it's cool. They always look gorgeous, though. Project Cars looks beautiful too. I've seen, you know, some videos and the pictures and all that. So it looks awesome. And then another question: the Star Wars, you bought that on PC too? Are you playing that on PC?
I did. Yeah, that was a bit of a gamble, but I decided to go with PC. I weathered the irritation of actually logging back into my Origin account, which I basically never do. Downloaded the client and I did buy it through on PC. I don't know why. I know it's unlikely that I'm going to find, you know, friends there or other taggers to play with on there. I think it's just because I was gaming on the PC at the time, and I tend to buy a game for whatever system I'm actively playing on. So, but yeah.
Cool. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure it looks probably, well, obviously more than likely it's, you know, the best looking one too. Yeah, and Homeworld. I don't think I've heard of that until the remaster or the, you know, the remake, or not remake, but the remaster, I guess, that came out last week. But I didn't realize it was an RTS, so I don't know. I might have to check that out. Looks like it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very neat. There are some complaints, you know, on Steam and elsewhere about the game not being that complex, not being that long, not having a lot of depth. You know, for me, you know, I don't need the game to be that complicated. It's sufficiently challenging for me, and it's definitely a nostalgia play. You know, the one interesting issue I'm having with it is I cannot. Well, number one, I've played it on two different systems I have. It actually plays worse on the gaming laptop I have that has the better video card. It plays better on the one with an older video card, so that's kind of weird. And that system where it doesn't play well is a system that I played Project Cars on today. You know, Project Cars as a high resolution racing game obviously is far more punishing to that PC and its video card than any RTS should be. Although RTSs can get grueling too because you have lots of units on screen and frequently lots of pyrotechnics going off. So that's just kind of one weird thing about Homeworld: Distance of Carrick. If you go looking for screenshots, the screenshots look amazingly gorgeous. I have not been able to replicate that on my machine, although I do have a strong suspicion that's because NVIDIA drivers have not been optimized for that game yet, because when it released, a lot of times on the PC with the way NVIDIA does things now where you have a utility that that handles all the updates for you, it's not unusual that you go buy a Call of Duty game on the PC, I guarantee you the day that it launches, you go to your PC and that NVIDIA GeForce utility will say that it has an update to support that specific game. And I haven't seen that yet, so it could just be a matter of the drivers need to be tweaked by NVIDIA. So, but yeah. So I see a few interesting things on your list, man. You want to talk about those?
Yes, I'm actually the complete opposite of you. I haven't played all that much. Actually, a month and a half. Actually, even 2 months now. Actually, it's the end of January. So, but the first couple of ones, Mario Maker and Disney Infinity 3.0. I've been playing those with my family. Excuse me, Mario Maker with my wife and my son. We kind of just trade off playing that. You know, it's kind of a cool thing to pick up for, I don't know, maybe a half hour, 45 minutes. You know, you can jump in there, you can make, you know, levels if you want, or, you know, jump online and download levels, or just, you can actually just play a level. You don't have to actually download it to your, you know, a permanent download to your Wii U. So that's kind of nice. So just jump on there and, you know, play those goofy levels that people make up. You know, a lot of them are kind of, you know, super simple, but then you get the ones that are super hard, and it's, you know, kind of in between too. You get all the ones in between, so it's nice. The one thing I do like about the game, when you're just, you know, making levels and stuff, the way they kind of start out is they don't just throw everything out there that you can, you know, create a level with. They kind of parse it out, you know. So like, and I'm not sure how often they unlock stuff. I don't know if it's every day or if it's once a week or something like that. I usually only play it like once a week, so I just kind of see it every week. Something unlocks, so it's kind of nice that they kind of slowly give you stuff so you can, you know, make something. And then as you kind of get used to the, you know, all the stuff that's on there, you know, then they throw something else at you. So that's kind of nice. And then Disney Infinity 3.0, just playing that with my son every, you know, usually on the weekends that we get to play for an hour or so. So that's been fun. And then I played a little bit of Black Ops 3. Most of that was last weekend. They had a, not double experience points, but they call it, they have this thing called crypto keys, which is basically in-game currency that you can buy, just like cosmetic stuff for your guns or your player or anything like that, like taunts and stuff like that too. So they kind of had double crypto key weekend, so I jumped on that for quite a bit on Saturday and Sunday, maybe a little bit Friday even. But most of my time has actually been Ark Survival Evolved, which is, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I don't think I did in the last show because I don't think we went through our games that we played. But it's a survival game, obviously, as it says in the title. And the survival games lately, past few years, they've been talking about zombies and maybe just like environmental survival, which I think Rust is maybe, I believe, which I think is a PC and maybe even a PS4 game. But this one actually is, there's dinosaurs in this game. So just kind of a quick rundown. You wake up on a beach, and this is for everybody. You wake up on a beach, totally naked except for, well, and not totally naked, but you got like briefs on or something. Obviously, they're not gonna have, your character totally nude. But and you just gotta survive. You gotta make all your clothes. You gotta make, weapons and tools and stuff like that. So it's very cool. And I don't know why, but this is another game, kind of like all the RPGs that I've played within the last few years, that it's very time consuming, even though I have less time to game now. But this is definitely very time consuming game. You level up as you do things, different things, collect resources or kill or tame different dinosaurs, which you can do. So it's, but it's been very fun. I really like it. This is actually part of the Xbox, and I bought this on the Xbox. It's on PC too, but I bought it on the Xbox One. It's part of the Xbox's Game Preview program, which is like early access on Steam. So I basically paid for just basically what a half price of what the game would actually come out, what it actually would be when it would come out. So I think it was only like $35 right now. So, and then I believe the release date's sometime in June. They're supposed to do the official release this year. So and when that comes out, I don't have to pay full price. I've already bought it. So we kind of just, this is like the alpha testing that we're doing now for, I guess, for the game. So I think they're trying every 2 weeks to try to, do updates. So that's cool. They'll add, more dinosaurs or, creatures. It's not just dinosaurs, actually. There's also ancient beasts of, mammals and birds and, all kinds of stuff, bugs. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, other than that, I haven't really been, that's pretty much all I've been taking my time. Like I said, that's a very time-consuming game, and it's just online. Well, you can either do it just online, or there's actually, you can do local. You can make just like a local game for yourself, so that's kind of nice, which is probably what I should have done in the first place. But I jumped in the deep end, so to speak, and it just kind of went along and just kind of figure things out. It's kind of like, I guess you want to say Minecraft back in the day, where you kind of have to have the wiki open, as you're playing, otherwise kind of don't know what's going on or what to do. So it's kind of like that too. But so that's it for the games I've been playing. If you want to jump into the gaming news, if you found anything this week, Zeus.
Before we go into that, same thing, I kind of had a few questions I wanted to ask you about your game list. An interesting thing, the Ark Survival Evolved, at least on Steam, and when you're looking at it on PC, one of the things that was weird for me and why it didn't pique my interest is the branding and all the imagery surrounding it very much make it look like Evolved. But I guess from what your rundown that you just went through, it's nothing like Evolved, right?
Oh yeah, no, it's just pretty much every man for himself. You can actually group up with people, what they call in the game, they call it tribes. Kind of just make a like make excuse me, kind of like making a clan. You just group up with a bunch of people, and you just survive, dinosaur attacks, and you can do PvP, PvP versus people if you want. There's actually they actually separate the servers from PvP and PvE, so you can either have if you want to just play against people, you can, or you could just, survive the environment. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, very cool. So, do you feel, is it a little like and I don't know if you've played DayZ on the PC, is it a little like DayZ but set in like prehistoric times?
Yeah, I haven't played DayZ. I have played a little bit of H1Z1, which is, I believe, is kind of the same thing, kind of the, survival, just surviving like a zombie apocalypse. But yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's just those same kind of survival games, but with dinosaurs instead of zombies, or just other people and stuff. So that's really cool.
Nice. Now you went to Black Ops 3. It sounds now. Did you buy this game in the launch window, or were you like me? This is another game that I also purchased, after the holiday, just because I felt obligated to. So, were you kind of the same way, or is Black Ops 3 something you bought in the launch window?
No, yeah, actually, I did buy it in the launch window. I'm a big Call of Duty guy. For most of them, I just jump into the multiplayer right away, and kind of the single player, story is kind of an afterthought for me instead of, the other way around for a lot of other people. But yeah, I bought it pretty much day one. I believe I bought it the day one, and this is probably one of the best Call of Duties in a while. I did like Advanced Warfare, the one before this last year's, but this one kind of just blows it out of the way. It runs a lot smoother. It's not kind of herky jerky like Advanced Warfare was when you're kind of jumping around with the back, or not the backpack, but the exosuit. But yeah, I definitely like this one.
Okay, cool. And I'm not sure if you mentioned, so with Mario Maker, now have you or any members of your family made any levels yourselves, or are you like a big downloader of the custom levels that have been uploaded?
I would say it's a little bit of both, actually. When I first actually got this for my wife for Christmas, she was actually asking for it. And at first, I thought, when you get in there, I don't really like to make levels and stuff like that. There's been other games kind of like that. What's that one game on the Xbox One? I think it's Project Spark, where you kind of make your own game. Like, that's kind of beyond me. But this, like I said, they don't have everything unlocked for you at the beginning, so you can kind of just gradually, build stuff on, and you can actually shorten the start and the end points. So, it's not, you don't have to make it a whole giant level if you want to just do a little short thing. So that's kind of what I've been doing lately, is just making little short levels and just trying to get used to everything. And I did actually make one and upload one, so that was kind of cool. And I've noticed that, it actually notifies you when people play it, so that's kind of cool. So it's kind of nice, but yeah, it's a little bit of both right now.
Okay, cool. So before we go on to the news that we have in the agenda, I just want to ask you, so have you seen, so I guess it just dropped today. We're starting to see specs and more and rumors with more specifics about the Nintendo NX. And what dropped today is a rumor that the new hardware coming from Nintendo is going to support 900p, 60 frames per second, and 4K streaming. So have you seen that news story?
I did see this, just the headline, basically. I didn't get a chance to read the whole story, so yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think I saw another one. I don't think it was I think it was sometime during the week, last week, on and this is just rumor, obviously, possibly speculation, but that they're going to release the basically it's going to be a handheld first, and then there's going to be some kind of docking station or some other, piece of hardware where you can make it into a console, like, later on. So I don't know. I don't know if you saw that one yet or not.
No, I didn't. But it's the whole thing's interesting. Like I don't know, and maybe I just haven't thought it through. But it's interesting to, I mean, why would you be able to only render at 900p locally, but then stream at 4K? Like I don't even completely understand what that rumor is trying to say. Does that, am I just thinking about that the wrong way?
No, it doesn't really make sense, because you would figure if you can only do it at 900, and how or why, would you do it differently on a stream? So yeah, it is. No, it's not just you. That's pretty weird.
Right. So yeah, I of course I've mentioned before that I struggle to understand Nintendo, and both the fan base around it, but more importantly, like the decisions that the company makes, particularly in the hardware front and in its online strategy. Yeah, and I see what you're saying now, where they're talking about it being both a console and a handheld, which I guess coming separately, they might charge you twice for if it until it comes in a bundle. And of course all the rhetoric from Nintendo right now is that this thing is going to be different than the things they've done in the past, but at least in recent history, everything that Nintendo has done has been a break from what it did in the past, but I also feel like sometimes that's a lot of the problem. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it's kind of one of the things that makes them different, I guess. They try to be different. They try to do, these extra or different things. Obviously the Wii had the waggle, the motion control, which, for better or worse, it actually, made, I'm assuming helped with the, console sales. And obviously you saw Sony and Microsoft kind of jump on that bandwagon with the Kinect and the Move, trying to make their own, excuse me, trying to make their own, motion controlled games and, devices and stuff. And I don't know, I think, sometimes it does, they shoot themselves in the foot with that. Obviously the Wii U wasn't the huge success that they had hoped for. I don't know if, they actually did think, it was going to be a huge hot seller, but, obviously sales didn't pan out like they would have wanted to. It's been doing decent, I guess, now, this past year or so, but still, nothing, totally great. But hopefully, with this console, they'll try to figure everything out. And I think we mentioned in the last show that, they partner with DNA, that they're kind of restructuring the online portion. So hopefully we'll get something more like, PSN and Xbox Live. And hopefully, at least in that part, they'll start to, kind of conform, at least, on that side. I don't think it's totally bad that they're trying to do something a bit different. If there's just, three consoles out there, they're all the same. I mean, I don't know if, it's gonna, gaming will survive, or at least console gaming will survive, if there's just kind of the same thing out there. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
My thing is I don't mind them being different, so to speak. I just want them to be at technology parity with the other two consoles, and I want their online mechanisms to not be like the bastion of confusion that they are. Like that aspect of them being different to me doesn't add any value to their identity, and is nothing but a frustration. And I deal with the Nintendo Market or whatever on the 3DS, and it's passable and it's serviceable. It's still not as good or as easy as it is to sometimes get through a different company's online store, and add money to your account and all that kind of stuff. And I know it's a handheld, but and to be quite honest, I wasn't on like the PlayStation Portable long enough to have a good feel or definition for what one of those stores should look like on a handheld, but I'll definitely say it's a lot more confusing and less clean than the Google Play Store are, or the App Store on iOS. And then once they if they had those two things, I mean, then I would be okay with motion control and whatever kind of crazy, I'll say, I'll say gimmicky. I'm hoping that won't make people too angry, but control scheme they want to have, that's fine. That's good differentiation. Just for Pete's sake, put it on an x86 64 CPU, with an NVIDIA or an AMD GPU, just like the other guys do, so that I don't feel like I'm buying something that doesn't have the capability to do what I want it to do in the types of games that I want to play. I don't know. I think you're a big Nintendo fan. I mean, do you think differently, or are you kind of fine? Or maybe another different way to ask it is your confidence high about the impending, release of the NX, or are you fearing that it's going to kind of continue to skew in a direction that's not maybe the most helpful for its gamers?
Well, I'm hoping that they've kind of learned from this past console, the Wii U, and they're trying to straighten things out and kind of get things all a little bit better for obviously online, like you said, online. Yeah, the online is horrible with the friend codes and all that stuff is just ridiculous. I never liked it. I guess I can kind of understand because they're family friendly console, but they kind of, most kids nowadays, they've grown up with, the Xbox and the PlayStation style, online. So, they kind of have to jump forward and, kind of just unify everything as, and I do have 3DS too, so I know what you're talking about the store. And even on the Wii U, it's decent, it's all right, but, I believe those two systems are still separate, I think, if I remember correctly. They might have merged them, but I don't think so, as far as I know. Maybe when we have DB on, he can speak more to that. I usually don't do it too often. I just buy everything, through brick and mortar stores. I go out to, Best Buy or whatever, and order through Amazon. So I never, they only have like one or two games on the Wii U that are digital, and the same goes for the 3DS. So I don't use the stores too often. So, but yeah, hopefully they can turn everything around and, trying to, I don't want to say like equal the other two, but at least, get up there with them and just get everything working correctly and, easily, I think is the most thing, the most important thing. Just, so you don't have to sit around and, try to find everything and have to put in codes and this and that. So hopefully they can just unify everything and, when, potentially if it is a console and a portable, I guess they're kind of going to have to. So, and it'll be interesting to see what's going on.
Yeah, no doubt. Good conversation. You ready to roll on to news?
Yep. Go ahead if you're ready.
Yeah, and I'll make this quick. So first up, I saw an article over on Destructoid about one of the writers there who had an opportunity to go to Ubisoft, I guess, and play a more complete build of The Division, the highly anticipated 2016 release, which is kind of an open world action RPG kind of game. And one of the things you mentioned, and again, this is about the PC version, is that he talks about how the UI is a lot more customizable than the console version. But basically, what you're going to be able to do is go in and kind of configure the UI as you so desire. So you're going to be able to move windows around, scale their sizes to be different, adjust their degree of transparency. So you can make things very opaque so you can't see what's underneath them, or make them transparent so you can kind of see through them to your screen. This also allows you to drag and drop multiple items of your gear that appear in different inventory windows and drag them as a group over to other places, I guess, in your inventory screen. And you'll have tooltips that will pop up over various features on screen. And the big deal is this just makes, rearranging your weapons that you're packing much more faster than I think you're going to be able to do on the console version. So all that sounded really, really awesome. What I really liked that came out in this article is that a lot of the things that he saw outside of that customizability gives me strong feelings that the game is on track for its scheduled release on March 8th of this year. And I think this game has definitely slipped at least once, maybe twice, from its intended ship date. You can go back and forth between the controller and the keyboard for your control scheme. It's got text chat for comms between players. A bunch of kind of MMO-oriented features, but also it supports SLI and Crossfire, so multiple video cards. Does have resolutions up to 4K. Frame rate is unlocked, so I guess it will go as fast as the strongest hardware that you can throw at it. And it has triple monitor support, which is awesome. I still don't have a warm fuzzy for how prevalent that is in PC games, to the point where on most of my gaming setups, I typically have two monitors, at least. But I still just never like go into a game with both monitors enabled. I always disable all displays except the one that I'm going to play on. But if this works on three monitors, that's pretty awesome, because The Division is just a type of game that does have a lot of different displays and smaller screens that you could put up on those additional monitors. But the fact that it's working on triple monitors and with SLI/Crossfire 4K resolution is working, all those things tell me that if the PC version has all those features working, then across the board, that release should be pretty solid for coming out on March 8th. Have you been tracking The Division, and is that one of your intended purchases for this year, Prime?
To kind of jump ahead almost a little bit to our segment of the week, I was actually going to put this on my games of the year, but after thinking about it, I really haven't followed it all too much, other than the couple of E3 walkthroughs that they did. I really haven't been able to I really haven't looked up too much information, and just other if they have any other videos and stuff like that, just to kind of see what the game is about. So, but it does look interesting. I didn't have my eye on it, so it's kind of honorable mention of my 2016 games, I guess, if you want to say that. But yeah, it looks like it'll be pretty cool. I was reading through the article that you had posted there, and it does look like the PC side, that'd be pretty cool to be able to change the UI and all and everything like that. And three monitors, yeah, it might be overkill, but I guess if people want to use that's more power to them. It's kind of funny when the guy was talking about having just playing on two monitors, how when he was scoping that the monitor the reticule was in between the two monitors, so he really couldn't see anything. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it almost makes me feel that if you're going to play this game with multiple monitors, it might be better to go with three, just because you'll have one central monitor where you should have like your main viewport on, and hopefully that'll prevent you from running into bugs like that. But yeah, that style of gameplay is definitely not like I would never tell anybody like go buy three monitors for that. But for somebody who for whatever reason, in their profession or whatever, has a three monitor setup that they typically use, I would definitely say consider that game, just to kind of enhance the value and be able to have that experience. And then the second news story, again, I'll just mention it, because probably most of the Xbox gamers on CAG already know that the Witcher 2 Assassins of Kings is available on Xbox One for free, and I think it's actually a 360 game with backwards compatibility enabled, so if you have a 360, it should be free for you as well. I actually definitely need to remember to boot up my Xbox One, which I haven't had on a lot, but make sure I grab my free games for the month of January, including this one. For you, and I'll throw it over to you, Prime. But before you spool up on news, is this a game that you that you're interested in? I always forget if you have the Xbox One or the PS4.
Yeah, I have the Xbox One. Yeah. I bought Witcher 3, and I had never played the first two before that. But I just when I was watching the Witcher 3, gameplay and videos and stuff, I just thought it was it looked pretty cool. And at the time, there was no really other RPGs out. So except for maybe I think Dragon's Age Inquisition had come out, but this one looked kind of more in the vein of kind of like Skyrim-ish, at least in the gameplay and stuff like that. But I bought The Witcher 3, and I think The Witcher 2 was actually Games with Gold for the 360 like a couple months ago, maybe. So it's kind of nice that they're giving it out free again. I think it was just this past week that they had announced that. So yeah. So it should be awesome. Another big open world game to play. It won't be as big as The Witcher 3, but at least it's still pretty large considering.
Right. So will this be a game you'll be grabbing on your Xbox One, or have you already pulled this down?
Yeah, actually, I did. I had already gotten it from when it was on the Games with Gold, and then you had mentioned about grabbing the games. You can actually just go to Xbox.com and just log in with your account, and you can just download from there too if you ever want to do that. You don't even have to bother to go into the consoles. So just a little tip there.
Yeah, and I was aware of that. I just like to it's just a matter of like that tangible feeling of verification. I like to actually bring my console up and see that it's downloading, or see that I have it in my library before I consider the whole thing complete.
Yeah, that's true. You never know what might happen. Yeah, so I didn't really find too much this past week or last couple weeks actually. So I'm just gonna kind of run through the game releases for this week. So a few games for this week that's coming out. You got the Lego Marvel Avengers, pretty much coming out for everything: PS4, Xbox One, Wii U, even PS3 and Xbox 360. This is just going through the Avengers movies and from like the commercials and things I saw. It looks like there's some of the single Marvel movies, just like the Iron Man movie and stuff like that, they might throw in there, or maybe they might just be missions or something. I don't know if they got like the whole movie in there, but I know there's a scene where they had like from Iron Man 3 from the end of it, where there's kind of like the big battle, so they showed that, and just a couple other things that I saw that was kind of neat. I do enjoy the Lego game, so I'll probably pick this up. Probably not this week, but maybe eventually I'll pick it up. I can play with my son. I know, kind of like in the Lego Marvel game that they had that came out, pretty much I think it launched with the Xbox One. That one kind of becomes like an open world game at one point, where you can kind of just go around New York and do random missions, or just go through the story and stuff like that. And this is kind of in the same vein. There's supposed to be a central hub area where you can just it's going to be New York again, where you can just kind of go around that city and do what you want, or just play the single story, which could be kind of neat, because the other one, Lego Marvel, was more of a port because it had already come out, I believe, on the older systems first, and so this one is kind of from the ground up. So hopefully this will be larger, a larger area, or a larger New York City that you can play around and goof around and do stuff. So another notable game is The Witness, which is a actually, I had heard of this game before, but I didn't really know anything about it until I was reading through this. This is coming out for the PC and PS4, and I think I read eventually, or maybe on the Xbox One eventually. It might be like kind of a time exclusive. I think there was an ESRB rating that popped up. I think it was last week or maybe the week before for the Xbox One, so more likely it'll probably come out for that too. But it's just kind of a What do you want to say? I don't even know what to call this, but just kind of like a puzzle game where you're kind of walking around. I think you wake up in a house and you don't know what's going on. That kind of a game. And this is from the same creator that did Braid. I don't know if you played Braid back on the 360. I'm not sure if I think it came out for the PS4 too, or the PS3, excuse me, last gen. Did you ever play Braid?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard it was supposed to be a really good game, but yeah, I never got around to playing it either. So this is from the same creator, Jonathan Blow, I believe his name is. So that's coming out. We got one for the 3DS, Final Fantasy Explorers, which is, Final Fantasy game. Kind of looks like almost like the Crystal Chronicles. What did that come out on? I think the Crystal Chronicles came out on the Wii, I believe. Just, RPG game from good old Square Enix. We have also on the PCs Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is coming out Thursday on the 28th. So it's a PC version of the Xbox One that just they, you know came out last holiday season. So you'll get that. You thinking of picking that one up?
Probably not. It'll probably go in my backlog shopping catalog. I never finished the first Tomb Raider for Generation 8. Rise of the not Rise, but whatever that launch window title was. I held off on buying it on Xbox One until they came out with what's it? It wasn't a remaster, but it was it the definitive edition. So that's the one I bought, but I never finished playing it. Yeah. I mean, that franchise is neat. I know that it is popular and has a huge following. I guess it's sad to say, but maybe I'm just when I think about like the Tomb Raiders that I love, I just love the old style Tomb Raider. I guess this one felt like it got a little too Indiana Jones-ish and realistic for me, and that's not like the Tomb Raider that I like. So I played it. I didn't get into it as much. So like I said, I'm definitely not buying this right off the bat, but it'll go to Steam or some other gaming service where I can buy it, and I'll just keep an eye on it until it comes down in price, and then maybe I might get it when it's like no skin off my nose to pick it up.
You're more the T-Rex getting chased by T-Rexes and stuff like that.
Right,
Kind of like the
yeah,
old,
it's
yeah. I
yeah,
think they kind
or
of.
even like I can't remember. I think there was an underworld or something like that chapter where there was just a lot of like vehicular driving and a lot more. I think that was the one where they got a lot more combat intensive with like other people. It felt more like an Uncharted before Uncharted came out. But I guess that's just kind of where I'm more interested with I guess a slightly more arcadey Tomb Raider than like the ultra realistic variants.
Yeah, I think they kind of flipped on how, the gameplay is nowadays, so it's not as goofy. But yeah, the definitive edition, that was pretty cool. I did actually play through it and I did finish it, so definitely gameplay wise at least it was really good. And story was decent. I thought it kind of fell apart a little bit at the end, but and even the gameplay was a little simple at the end, but it was still overall it was a pretty good game. But other than those are kind of the notable ones. There's some few others on PS4 and PC that are coming out, but you can just hit the link on the show notes and you can see what's coming out this week. So we are gonna go up to our next segment here, our topic of the week, which I believe Zeus, you brought this up, our most anticipated games of 2016. I'm gonna let you go ahead and go first, and then I'll chime in.
Okay. Yeah, and I just wanted to say a couple things to wrap up that last section. I guess one of the things that also bothered me about Tomb Raider, the first one on Gen 8, is the direct fire arrows. Just the fact that, like, regardless of what distance she was away from a target, like, the arrows always flew in a, like, perfectly straight line. And the only other PC release of this upcoming week that I would mention is such a weird release date. On Friday of this week, on January 29th, Sebastian Loeb's Rally Evo will be releasing to PC. It's also coming to PS4 and Xbox One. I thought the PS4 and Xbox One releases were going to be like another month or two out, so I'm not absolutely positive that they're going to be available on consoles. But recently, one of the recent games I've been playing, well, number one, I've been playing a ton of racing games, and also recently picked up Dirt Rally, which is an awesome rally racing game. This Sebastian Loeb's Rally Evo also looks really good, so because rally games don't come along that frequently. I would say if you're a rally racing fan, give some thought to grabbing this as well as Dirt Rally, just to kind of hold you over for the next 5 years before like a decent rally racing game comes out.
Yeah, I think they actually had, I think, the older version too on the Xbox 360 for backwards compatibility a few weeks ago. I think, well, you can still get it now too, but yeah, that should be pretty awesome.
Very cool. So I'll start off the round table of my most anticipated games of 2016. And I think, I'm guessing the way it will probably work is probably Prime and I'll mention ours this week, and then maybe on a future episode when Gray and DBQ Hams are back on, they'll go through theirs. But I'll just say this one right off the bat, since we've talked about it already, Tom Clancy's The Division dropping on March 8th. I'm very excited about that game. There are not a lot of opportunities for me to get into multiplayer these days. I'm hoping that The Division is just one that has just like a huge following and that everybody's playing it, and I'll be able to connect with some people to play. I have not decided what system I'm going to get this on. I have also not decided if this is something that I'm going to get right out of the gate or if I'm going to give it like a month of soak time. Given the online problems that we saw, well, actually, we didn't see a ton of online problems with Destiny. It actually worked really well at launch, if I remember correctly. Here's hoping that that the Division can also get it right and handle a sizable launch with a minimum amount of glitchiness in online play. So Prime, any thoughts on that pick, or you want to, and or going ahead and mentioning your first pick?
Yeah, like I mentioned, this is, like I said, this is part of my one of my honorable mentions of 2016, because I haven't been able to just to look up more videos and just kind of read up on what it all entails. What they showed at E3 was seemed pretty cool, where that if you want to work with people, you can, or you can do that, and then at the end you can just turn around, betray them, and get the spoils, as it were. So it should be interesting. That I'm definitely gonna keep my eye on it, and I didn't realize actually it was gonna be March where it's releasing, so I'll have to start brushing up on reading up on everything on this to see if I want to pick this up or not. Yeah, so for my first one, Quantum Break, which has actually been delayed a bunch of times, at least two, maybe even three times this past year or so. I think actually originally it was supposed to be not a launch game, but maybe like a launch window game for the Xbox One. So it was obviously 2 years later, 2.5 years later, we're finally hopefully going to get it. It's supposed to be come out in April, they said so far. I believe, I think it was supposed to come out. They might have delayed it just like a month or so, maybe. I think it was supposed to come out sometime in February, but now they're saying April. So hopefully, it's not a hard date, but at least it's the month that they got in there. But this is from the same. This is from Remedy, the same guys who did the original Max Payne, one and two. They didn't do three. That's Rockstar. Not, excuse me, Rockstar. I believe now has that IP, but they did do the first two Max Payne. So you're gonna get a lot of bullet time in this game. But there's also a cool time mechanic where you can stop time kind of around you, kind of almost like in a bubble, and actually even like kind of throw out, I don't know if you like throw out grenades or if it's more of like a power type of thing where you can kind of throw a bubble around the enemies and they're kind of moving in slow motion while you just kind of run around them, and you either shoot them or just kind of get in better position depending on maybe how tough the enemy is. So it should be pretty cool. There is also a TV component, TV show component to this game. So they haven't really said, I guess, how that's going to work, if it's going to be, you just kind of play through the game and then there's a show at the end, or maybe there's like a little bit at the beginning and then maybe the rest of it at the end, or if it's going to kind of be interwoven in between the game, the gameplay and maybe you play like a level or two and then there's like a where normally you would see a cutscene, there's a TV show that's going to play through. So it's hopefully we'll get more information on that in the coming months, how that's going to actually play out. But yeah, I'm really really excited about this game. Main hero, I guess if you want to call him right now, is played by, I believe it's Sean Ashmore. I think there's actually he's actually twins, so I'm not sure if it's him or the brother. I believe it's Sean Ashmore. He's the one that played Iceman in the X-Men movies. So I don't have any problems with him, so that's fine. But yeah, it should be a pretty cool game. I don't know if you've read up on Quantum Break or if you've been following it at all.
No, not closely. I want to say, and maybe it's another game called Quantum, but Is it this game, or is it another game that like has some association with one of the developers who worked on Portal? Does that ring a bell?
No, I don't remember hearing anything about that before. It might be a different game, but yeah, as far as I know, there's nobody on Portal that's working on it right now.
Okay, yeah, that may be me getting it confused with something else. So my next pick is a game that it should be releasing in February, and I don't even know what platforms it's coming to. It's definitely coming to PC. I'm not sure where else it's coming, but if we know Telltale Games, it'll be coming everywhere, even to like your Casio calculator, because that's just kind of how they roll. But I'm looking
A
forward to The
palm.
Walking Dead. Yeah, right, exactly.
Palm devices.
But I'm looking forward to The Walking Dead Michonne, which is supposed to come out in February. The specific release date has not been disclosed, but one of the reasons I'm looking forward to this is because I guess when The Walking Dead games started taking off, well, the main problem that I had was I was watching the show and just starting it, so I was probably maybe had was in the middle of season one of The Walking Dead, or maybe had just finished it when the first game from Telltale started, was released. And of course, when I heard and understood that there are like kind of touch points where it kind of sidles alongside the show, I was like, well, I don't want to see anything. That's just like The Walking Dead show to me is just sacred. like, don't want anything disturbing my experience of it. So I was like, no, I'm not willing to find out something potentially that the show covers without seeing the show. So the reason I'm looking forward to it this year is because I am at this point actually entirely caught up on The Walking Dead show. I finished season 5 about a month before season 6 started, and then I bought a season pass to season 6. So I'm right up to date and running perfectly alongside the show. So it is okay for me at this point, if a game drops, and Michonne is one of my favorite characters from that show, so if a game drops, I'll have a complete green light to pick that up without being worried about it spoiling anything. So Prime, what about you? What's your number two pick?
So up next for me, oh, actually, before I mention, I go on to that. I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead. I haven't played through the first two seasons yet of The Walking Dead game from Telltale, but I want to kind of hopefully jump through that soon. And yeah, this one should be, pretty awesome. Once again, Michonne's a great character, so hopefully, they, spin a good tale around her, and I'm sure they do. Telltale games are usually pretty awesome, so. For my second game, Mirror's Edge Catalyst, which is supposed to come out on May 24th, should be pretty much a hard date now. I don't know if you've ever played if anybody has ever played the first Mirror's Edge, which, pretty much you're kind of parkouring around, this big open city. Well, I shouldn't say open city, and the new one is going to be an open city, but in the old one it was just kind of more of I don't want to say on ra not on rails, but more of a focused gameplay where you can only go, certain areas. Very light on, at least on the original, it was very light on the combat, as far as either hand-to-hand or guns. You could use guns in the first one. This one, there's no guns at all. You can't use any guns. I don't know if there's any kind of melee combat at all. I haven't read anything about that, but it should be pretty cool. This, like I said, this one's going to be open world, so you can go anywhere you want and, do missions anywhere. But, a big thing on Mirror's Edge is, like I said, you can just do parkour. You can, run up a wall and just, kind of wall run on stuff, and you just, kind of keep going, bouncing, back and forth on different things. So, really looking forward to this. The first one I did actually play through and finish. It was, pretty good story. And this is, I don't think it's really a reboot. I think it's kind of the origins of the character from the first one, just kind of how, and I don't want to spoil anything, I know it's been many years now since the first one, but just kind of the origin of that character, how she became, who she was, and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to this, and it's gonna be on, I think, all the major systems, Xbox One, PC, and all that, so, and PS4. So it should be super interesting. I don't know if you ever played the first one, or if you're looking forward to this one.
I did, and if there's other things you want to talk about it, don't have any fears of spoiling it for me, because that's one of the rare games that I played all the way through and actually completed. So, despite the frustration of the final battle, I did actually complete it. So, yeah, I am looking forward to it, and like you mentioned, I'm looking forward to It's one of those games that for me has, EA puts so much behind it, and they definitely have versions on lots of different platforms, including mobile operating systems, and the way those things build together. And I think the handheld versions were slightly different than the full console version. So it's just cool that if they do that again, that there'll be all these different variants to play that just enhance your appreciation of the story that's in the main game. That it's not stuff that kind of unravels your experience playing on a console or a PC with the full version. It just kind of enhances it.
So did you, when you played the first one, did you do no gunplay, or did you kind of do a little? I did a little bit of gunplay here and there, just because there are certain parts that I kind of got frustrated on. I couldn't, get past the person without doing it. You obviously you could have, but just for whatever reason, I just couldn't do it. So I had to resort to the gunplay to get past that certain parts.
Yeah, I didn't specifically avoid it or apply it. It was one of those things I probably would have liked to have done more gunplay, but because for me it was frequently difficult to get the weapons away, from the guards and whatnot, I bypassed it a lot of times. But yeah, absolutely. If I had hold of a firearm, it was on. So yeah, I wasn't worried about my high score or the 21st century equivalent thereof. But yeah, and then for me, my final one is Gears of War 4 on the Xbox One, obviously, which is supposed to be out in Q3 of 2016. So hopefully in September we will see that arrive, which I think is unseasonably early for a Gears of War game. I thought they typically launch later than that, like in the November timeframe. But obviously, again, I'm looking forward to kind of some big franchises coming to either the Xbox One or the PS4 that have a big multiplayer following that I can get on board with, with my schedule. So, Gears of War is just one of those games that I really, really have very fond memories. I think that may have been the first big multiplayer game that I played when I joined CAG. So, I can remember definitely some very late nights doing chainsaw kills on with CAG. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And I've skipped I think I may have skipped every Gears of War other than the first one. So because I don't have a ton of games for my Xbox One, I'm pretty sure this one will find space in my library. So again, looking really forward to that. And that was my last one, Prime. So if you want to go ahead and roll through your last two, by all means.
Okay. Yep. Actually, I was just on the your Gears of War. I only played the first one. I actually played through. I think I got it pretty much when it came out, and then played through, which I didn't realize. I played pretty much through till the last boss. I was like on that last level, at the beginning. I just didn't realize it, and I just kind of like quit and stopped playing for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, and before I actually finally, went back and finished it and realized, oh, hey, I was, right at the end. That was kind of stupid of me, but it was fun. I never did play 2 or 3 or Judgment, excuse me, Judgment. I don't know. I tried the multiplayer in Gears, but I could not get into it for some reason. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just kind of, it's obviously a little slower, and you're just rushing through everything. But I don't know. I just couldn't get into it for some reason. But yeah, it was. I didn't enjoy the story though. I really didn't go like going through the single player campaign, and I believe that was the first game that I played on HD TV. So it was pretty awesome. So I actually played that both on a tube and then on an HD TV, and the difference was definitely noticeable. You can definitely see all the fine details that they put in that game. So that was pretty awesome. But yeah, as far as my last two games actually don't have a release date other than just 2016. So who knows, one or both of these might be delayed until next year. I don't really even think anyone's officially said that they're going to come out this year, but kind of hoping. The first one is Crackdown 3, which first one was, it was awesome. It was pretty good. It came out on the 360. Second one, it was all right. I played through maybe a third of that, the second one. They kind of changed the story a little bit, I guess, from the first one. First one, you're basically just like a super cop. You can, I think the one thing that most people remember are the orbs that you go around and collect, and you can use those orbs to kind of beef up your character. You make them super fast, super strong, have endless stamina, stuff like that. And then also, at least in the first one, I don't know if they did this in the second one, the different vehicles you got from like your, I guess, police station or whatever, As you're leveling up, you can actually level up the vehicle too, and it would, physically change. You can, it would transform, and there would be, gun mounts, on the front of your car, or this, big old exhaust would come out the back, so you had super turbo speed and stuff like that. So it was actually a pretty cool game, at least the first one. And this one looks like it's going back to the, that original formula. At least in the multiplayer for, the new one, they're gonna have a destructible, I guess they're saying destructible city. So we'll see, how that works out. I don't, that's kind of cool, but in the same way, if you just kind of flatten everything, or around you, or I don't know if it's gonna be like a whole city, or the, just a section of the city where you can just, destroy everything. It might be kind of boring after a while, and then you're kind of just, walking on this flat land with rubble everywhere. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, how that's going to play out, and if any of that destructibility, excuse me, is gonna, come into the single player at all. Maybe, if you do a mission, maybe they'll just have like a certain buildings or something, kind of like in Just Cause 3, where there's only certain things you can blow apart and destroy. So it'll be interesting to see if, how that works out. And I'm trying to think. I don't think they've actually shown any gameplay. They've just done, no, I'm sorry. They did show gameplay, I think, in this last E3. But I don't think they've shown anything recently. So, like I said, I don't know if it's going to come out this year or not, but hopefully it will. I don't know. Did you ever play either of the first two Crackdowns?
I did not, but I always, I had buddies who played and always thought that it always sounded like they were definitely having a really great time playing those games. Just kind of in a Just Cause 3 kind of way, that it's just you just boot the game up and it's like a guaranteed entrance to mayhem. So yeah, that's cool. It'll be interesting to see how that game plays with the current audience of Xbox One owners.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that one. That's probably my main one that I'm looking forward to this year. And then my final one is, which is we've heard even less of, is called ReCore. And I can't remember the name of the person who's doing this. He's actually, I can't remember right now, but they showed just a CG trailer basically, this past E3, or it was just kind of this woman going through this wasteland. She has this like robot dog with her, and they get into a fight, and the dog kind of dies, I guess, if you want to say that. But basically, like the middle of the dog was like this glowing orb, and she basically just took that and popped it into one of, I don't know if it was one of the enemies or just another robot that was laying around, and basically reanimated that. So that was pretty much all the trailer. But it's kind of cool if you can, just, take that orb and, pop it in things and, animate them, and you can have vehicles or, robot companions and stuff like that. So hopefully that should be, hopefully a good game. That's, I believe that is coming out for, that's just an exclusive for the Xbox One and possibly PC too, I think. So hopefully we'll see more of the problem. We'll see more of that during this year's E3. So that should be cool. I don't know if you caught that trailer.
No, I have not. No, I have not. It sounds really interesting, though. We could definitely use more quirkiness, particularly if it comes along with good immersive gameplay. So I have not seen it or been tracking that myself, but I love it when I hear that games are pushing the envelope of diversity in terms of differentiating themselves and kind of changing the name of what the label, a game means. So, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, and it's good that, it's a new IP, so it's, not just a rehash or a sequel or anything like that. So that'll be nice. And actually, I did find the name of the creator. Is Kenji Inafune, excuse me, if I'm saying that correctly. He was actually one of the makers of Metroid Prime. So hopefully it'll be a decent game. I don't think I actually ever played a lot of the Metroids. When they became kind of that first person, that's basically what those were, the kind of first person mode. So, but they're, I think I played just a little bit of them. They were cool and all, but I was never really into Metroid, so I think that's why I never really played through them. But yeah, hopefully that'll be good. So I think we'll call it a night with that. Do you have any other last minute thoughts or anything? Or anything you want to tell the audience that you're going to be doing soon?
No, the only thing I would say is please check out my channel on YouTube called Rounding Off Infinity. It's just kind of where I've taken the concept of my gaming diary, which is where I used to kind of incrementally log some commentary about my gaming sessions. on my Google Plus page. I've kind of expanded that or added to it or kind of shifted it over to game capture and streaming. So, you know, when I do post it, you get that kind of My Gaming Diary kind of dialogue, but then also have the video of what I've been playing. And I'm just trying to build a big archive of really diverse games, kind of representing all the different stuff and often kind of weird stuff that I play that's unlike maybe a lot of the other games that I play. So there will definitely be more and more content going up there about Project Cars, as that's kind of the current thing that I really like. And probably a little bit more Homeworld, Deserts of Karak as well, too.
Awesome, yeah, definitely check that out. And if you want to check out anything from myself here, you can catch me on YouTube at Taomaster99. That's TaoMaster99. Or on Twitch, which actually I gotta start getting on Twitch more again. I haven't done it in months now. Actually, probably Ark would probably be a good game to jump back into, just my adventures and, you know, getting killed by dinosaurs. So that'll be interesting. Oh, one thing actually I was gonna ask you about. You said you're streaming on YouTube, right?
Correct. And more often than not, what I do is I just capture the video locally and then upload it. But yeah, I've shifted from Twitch being my primary place where I put my gaming content to YouTube / YouTube Gaming.
Cool. Is there any reason that you made the switch, or just because it's kind of easier just to kind of upload it to YouTube? Obviously, it's already there, so.
Yeah. There's some pretty significant reasons. The first thing I recorded on YouTube was kind of this switching to YouTube testimonial, which I've since hidden because I didn't really want that to be the primary thing people associated my my channel with, but yeah, it was because I just got a lot of instability and inconsistency in streaming to Twitch. I was also very frustrated with a lot of the mechanisms on Twitch that just don't work consistently, like the way you apply a dialogue or a write-up to your video post. The way it handles like attaching pictures is just really weird. I just experienced a lot of inconsistency. Exporting to YouTube was funky on Twitch in that there are some characters that you can't put in the title of the video, but it doesn't tell you that before you do the export. The export will just fail. And on several occasions I had to kind of hunt and peck and trial and error and figure out like which character it didn't like. So at the end of the day, the main reason I switched was because even when I recorded to Twitch and then tried to export it to YouTube, I wound up still having a lot of things that I would have to do in my YouTube channel to like properly edit the title and any written commentary they wanted to go along with it. So I was like why am I doing this extra step? I might as well just go straight to YouTube. So I made that switch. The final thing I will say as to the main reasons I also shifted from Twitch is because the Twitch mobile app is just really, really buggy. You know, there was a point where I recorded like an additional 5 or 6 videos that just would not display on any version of the Twitch mobile app on iOS or Android. And since it's not atypical for me to, it wasn't atypical for me to like, you know, record a video and then like play it back on a mobile device, like while I was eating dinner or doing something like that. That aspect of it also became really frustrating. And you don't have that problem on YouTube. YouTube still has its problems, but I just find them less invasive and less obstructive than what I experience on Twitch. So sorry, there's a lot of detail in that, but that's a question when somebody asks it, I feel like I need to be very detailed. Quite honestly, I hate to say it, but to try and get the word out to people that you know, I don't know that Twitch is the automatic go-to answer for streaming that you want to, that you would want to select, that people owe it to themselves to also check out what YouTube has to offer. And the final thing I'll say is the other reason I shifted from Twitch is because I also feel like Twitch is best for, like, the people who are playing, like, the top 10 games on Twitch, and that if you're playing anything outside of those games, it's almost impossible. Discoverability is incredibly difficult for me on Twitch, for people to find your content, for you to find other people's content about games that aren't like their top 10 games that they push. So whereas, you know, if you go to YouTube, you just type in a search and you get kind of the Google search aspects in engine riding underneath that, and are pretty easily able to surface gaming content, is the way I feel. So sorry about that kind of long dialogue here at the end of the show.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I know. I actually have some of those frustrations too with Twitch. I only do it through the Xbox One. I don't have any external devices to stream or anything or capture anything like that. So I just do it through the Xbox One. But yeah, I've definitely had those problems with trying to export it to YouTube and find out the hard way. Oh, this is not working. Why? And eventually I just put like the simplest things in the the subjects in the description. I was like, oh, I'll just do it later on YouTube then. So yeah, I definitely feel your pain there. And I think we'll have a future topic on this, kind of the pros and cons of Twitch and YouTube and just kind of everything else.
Right. And we should talk about local video capture too, because one of the big reasons I've also shifted a lot of what I do to local video capture is because no matter how consistent and reliable my streaming is to YouTube, again, it's not perfect, but I never get the video is just never as clean and is never as high res as when I capture locally. And a big thing is, I think a lot of people don't know this and miss it because it's never an issue for them, but storage on YouTube is unlimited. So if I record an hour of Project Cars at 1080p resolution, and my video file winds up being 18 gigabytes, YouTube does not care. And that 18 gigabyte video file looks a heck of a lot better than the, 5 or 6 gigabyte file that it might wind up being if I stream. So takes a little more time to do the upload. You definitely need to not be with an ISP that has a bunch of bandwidth caps, but it's a far more rewarding experience, and digital trail to view of your stuff online by doing local video capture. And I mix it up a little. I'm probably doing probably 2/3 local video capture now, and 1/3 streaming.
Cool. Yeah, definitely we'll have to bring this up again. I know Gray. I know Gray's been he's been doing some Twitch streaming. I think on Sundays when they do the Forza Nights. And I think I've seen DB do it every once in a while. I know he mentioned, actually, I think he just posted on the site that he wants to start streaming more. So yeah, definitely we'll have to bring this up as a topic when once we have everybody here and we can expand on it. Like I said, do the pros and cons. So anyways, before we went on our tangent, you can find me on
Yeah,
Twitch
sorry.
on no, it's all right. I was talking about it too. You can find me on Twitch at excuse me, Osiris underscore Prime. If you have any comments on what we discussed this week, please visit us at bandofgamers.net or send an email to podcast@bandofgamers.net. So that is it for tonight. Two-man crew, old school, podcast like we used to do. I am Osiris Prime, and on behalf of Zeusidamus, I want to thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Later, guys.